What's up, Atlanta? Time now for another Falcons cast here at Atlanta Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. Mini camp underway. Jay Adams, DJ Shockley, John Michaels. This is the first time the three of us have done a show together in
the excitement
since like February.
It's been a bit of time. It's good to see you guys.
It is. It's great to see you guys both. I saw Shock last week. Jay, you were off on a family vacation. How did that go?
It was great, except my apartment got burglarized while I was gone.
Seriously?
Yeah, no way. My apartment got broken into, and a couple of guys, they got them. They fled on foot, and they were, like, walking around it.
They get your stuff? Did they get anything?
Yeah, they got a couple of things, but, like, I still got to meet with the police and figure out. Because, like, So when that happens, like, the police don't say, okay, well, we've got this and this and this and this. What's yours? It's you have to, like, go through your stuff and guess what you might own anymore. And so that's really, really hard.
So you can't just claim stuff that's not yours?
No. I mean, there was stuff that like was obvious that I knew they took. They took this old MacBook computer that I had in this one drawer. I'm like, well, that's obvious. I remember seeing that. But I didn't realize that they had taken – well, what I'm most upset about is they took my loose change jar that was halfway full. I was saving up money for a rainy day.
No way, for real?
And they took my change. And so I didn't even realize it until I went to take the change that I had saved in a little Ziploc baggie from my trip to put into my bank. And then I look up and the bank's gone. So
sorry to hear that.
They caught them. They were in jail, you know, doing all that stuff. So
kids,
they
caught kids them, are older.
Probably kids. Yeah. I don't know. I still
Both sec, you need to beware. Two of your guys have gotten...
I know. I'm looking out. And last week, my apartment complex accused me of not paying rent. So I got a notice in the mail. What? You'll be evicted in 3 days.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously?
So you had to come in with the cash check and everything?
I had a cashier's check, yeah. And
Bosek, did you not pay it? Or
no,
what?
I put it in. What was it? June 1st, I put it in the thing. I don't know what happened to it. And they got a camera that like looks down like when you walk up the steps. I was like, you could check the camera. So it's like, all right, I won't charge you a late fee, but just pay me a cashier's check and you'll be fine. I was like, yeah, but what if someone cashes that other check?
Right.
So it hasn't been taken out, though.
No, it hasn't. So they must have misplaced it and blamed it on me.
Which means they are going to cash it somewhere along the line.
So they're going to wait like 6 months.
But I'm looking out. I'm worried.
Shock, you haven't had anything traumatic happen to you, have you?
Thank God I haven't. No, I haven't. Nothing that serious. I'm praying it doesn't.
Me neither.
Well, you know what's good that happened is minicamp this week.
That is, and that is a fantastic thing.
What
we've
a great
been
segue!
Awesome.
Right there.
You know what? You've got a future in this business.
You do. We don't want to get talking too much. We'll sit here and shoot the breeze all day.
Yeah, it'll be 45 minutes later, and we won't have mentioned that minicamp is underway. Well, minicamp Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Falcons getting really their last look before training camp gets underway, and that's going to get underway in a couple of weeks. It was open to the public here at minicamp, which was really cool to see fans. Summertime, a lot of parents can take a day off. They've already got their kids out of school anyway, coming out here and just having a really good time.
Yeah, the place was packed on Wednesday. Kids' Day was a big day. It's always a big day. We expect a lot of people when that day rolls around. But fans are excited. You know, I think that's the – as somebody who has watched, you know, on social media all the kind of negativity throughout this offseason, it's refreshing to come out and see some smiling faces and people optimistic about the season ahead. And I think Dan Quinn's given them a really good look at the team that he's got right now. I think if you're a fan who's come out to any of the days of minicamp, I feel like you walked away learning a little bit more about your team.
And Jay, I was out on Wednesday as well when it was Kids Day, and it's so many people out. I felt like it was training day. It was so many people out, so many fans, so many kids, people having a good time. Like you mentioned, DQ had the music going. The guys were high energy on the field. It was so many kids on top of the hill, you know, to the right of the field. It was just great to see the fans out, great to see the people come out and want to see what this Atlanta Falcons team is going to put on the field this season. Early look at them. I know it's minicamp, but still, you can feel the energy at Flowery Branch, especially on Wednesday when you've seen all the kids, all the families, all the people come out. And it was just a good time for everybody, you know.
And for me, what makes me proud is to see, you know, the fathers and their sons or mothers and their sons out here and just sharing. You see the raw excitement. Somebody that's, whether they were 4 years old or 14 years old, some of these people, some of the kids, it's their first chance to see professional football players. Granted, it's not a game, but it's getting close to Julio Jones, maybe getting an autograph from Matt Ryan or Jake Matthews or somebody like that, and seeing that up close and personal. And that's the things that, you know, I remember as a kid, I never got to go to training camp.
Right.
Heck, I didn't even know where training camp was. The only picture that I have with a football player, old Bob Baumhauer, who used to play for the Dolphins back in the 70s and early 80s, I've got a picture like on his shoulder. I don't even know where we were. But never had this opportunity. And for them to open it up today, on Wednesday, and you know, give all that stuff away. The first 1,000 kids got stuff that came through the gate. And just to see the smile on people's faces, it lets you know football is alive and well in this country. And with all the negativity that goes on around it, it's not going to go away anytime soon.
And it's alive and well in Atlanta, too. Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of people that are excited, obviously, about the 2016 season. And I've been watching for – you know, weeks now since they started OTAs, and you know, now that things are over and we got this dead period until training camp starts, it's really a time to kind of reflect back and look at, you know, what did you see, what did you learn, what should we watch for going into training camp. And one of the big things that stood out to me was just how much a comfortable presence Mohamed Sanu has become at the wide receiver spot. I know that's a touchy subject for a lot of people. You know, we all love Roddy White. We all do. That's what happens sometimes in football. But, Mohamed Sanu is not being asked to come in here and replace Roddy White. He's being asked to just be Mohamed Sanu. And so far he's done that. I love what I see out of the guy. Big, tall, fast, athletic, just everything you want in a guy that, is going to be the go-to guy when Julio is triple teamed, you know? So for me, that's one of the big things that stands out is you've got these new guys that come in. And there were a lot of them this offseason. For fans, it's the first chance to see them.
Yep.
And I really hope a lot of people came away looking at some of those guys and thinking, hey, we might have something going here.
I got a couple things. Going back to what John talked about in, you know, the kids and the families coming out. I was the same way growing up. Wasn't able to come out of training camp. I don't know. I don't think I ever did. I don't think I ever had that experience until I got into college and guys would come back from being in the league and come back to college. That was my first experience at it. And if you have the chance to come out to training camp before kids get back to school, bring your kids out. It's an experience that even now as a guy who's been a part of it, who's went to training camps, who, you know, brought his son out, it's such a unique experience to get your kids out here, to have them out here, to give them that chance just to see the guy that they watch all the time on TV, and they can see him, you know, 20, 50, 100 yards away from him and say, hey, I got to see him in person. And that goes a long way. Even if you don't get a signature from him, bring him out, let him have that type of experience around here. And everybody here at the Falcons facility is so easygoing. It's a place that you want to be. It's a place that, you know, you want to bring your family out. And then, Jay, to your point about some of the things
Before you move on, I want to mention to fans that the training camp schedule is out with the open practices, times, dates, you know, the subject to change. But go to AtlantaFalcons.com, and under the schedules tab, you'll see a link for the Xfinity training camp. All the dates are there so you can get in your vacation time.
On Wednesday, when I was able to watch practice, there were a couple things that stuck out to me. And you brought up one right off the bat, which is Sanu. What I liked about Sanu is his feel inside when he's running routes from the inside. He runs some routes on the inside where he's a slot player and there's zone coverage, and he has to feel that zone. And you could see it a couple times where him and Matt were already feeling each other out. It wasn't where Matt had to drop back and he had to tell him, all right, you can see sometimes quarterbacks point at guys one way or another and tell them move one way. You could just see he could feel the hole. He understands how to get open. He understands how to use his body. He's long. He's rangy. I saw some balls that weren't right on the body, and he was able to elevate, or he was able to stretch one way or another and snag it and bring it in. The good thing about Sanu is you could tell he's already understanding where his role is and where he can be very good in his offense, and it's inside. I think inside the hashes, he's going to be really well. There were a lot of sets where he was inside and he was matched up on linebackers, matched up on safeties, and there was zone or man coverage, and he always found the hole. And some stuff that we saw Roddy do over the years, some of the stuff we see Julio do. I saw some of the same things on Wednesday with his ability to be able to find the open lanes, find open holes, and then also create separation while he's running those routes, first man coverage. And that's huge too, because like you mentioned, there's going to be double and triple team coverage on Julio. And one thing that Shanahan spoke about a couple of weeks ago when we talked about it, or last week we talked about it, was when Julio's getting double or triple team, that basically means cover zero is for everybody else. You got man coverage for everybody else. So those guys have to win. It's a must that they win. And today I saw some of that – excuse me, on Wednesday I saw some of that out of him. And then defensively, Jay, you talked about it, but I saw it on Wednesday, the speed of the defense. I saw some guys flying around from all positions. I saw Coach Cox, a guy who – that defensive front, every time they rushed the passer, he wanted everybody going past the quarterback, or if it was a run play, he wanted them always moving, flowing, getting somewhere. Linebackers, we know they got some athleticism and speed. But I was also – this was my first time to really get to see Brooks Reed, and he looks the part.
Yeah.
When you talked about him for the last three, 4 weeks, Jake, and you legitimately said, hey, this guy has slimmed down. He's brought a new mind frame in, and he definitely looks the part. He looks like – a guy who's going to make some noise this year. And I know it's hard to see because of, you know, you didn't get all the impact you wanted last year, but watching him in just one practice, you can see the speed. You can see him with a different mindset of rushing the passer and how he's going to take his game to the next level.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of those other guys that kind of make it a faster defense right now. And I look at a Devondre Campbell, and I look at a Deion Jones that you added in the draft. And now you're really starting to see those guys understand the defensive scheme a lot more as we're going through the offseason now, to the point where they're doing way less thinking and trying to recognize and all that. And they're just going out and reacting, and they're playing. And that is making a really big difference on the field. I think having a guy like Brooks Reed coming in with this brand new look, brand new attitude, is only going to benefit the team in the long run here. But, you know, minicamp gives us a chance to kind of get a look. And I always caution people to not take too much from what they see at minicamp, because, you know, you'll see guys that are playing out in positions that they might not be playing on day one. You'll see guys that are playing, you know, maybe some – boy, Bo is just going nuts. What are you doing, Bo Sack? This is why I sound like I'm rambling, is because I'm distracted by Bo.
He's over here putting together –
he's got wires on wires on wires over here.
I'm charging my computer.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Jay, you know what?
Well, don't let us get in the way.
One other guy that I was really impressed with, and obviously I'm a quarterback looking at – offensive things a little bit more sometimes.
See, now you're distracted by Bosek. I see.
But Aldrick Robinson, number 19 receiver from SMU, the dude was making plays on Wednesday. There was a couple plays. They had some red zone stuff going on, and Matt drops back, and he throws a fade right to Aldrick, and just a good defensive play. They knocked the ball away. They come back right to him and run a slant. He bodies him up, catches a touchdown right there. He had another long catch during 7-on-7 down that left side down there. It didn't score, but it was a long, deep threat. I'm watching. I'm like, where's this guy coming from? And I'm not sure if this is some stuff he's done in OTAs too, but today was really Wednesday, he really impressed me.
Wide receivers are an interesting spot this year, because there's a lot of guys that you're going to just look at and be like, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. You're going to know them by the end of training camp, because there's going to be some guys on there that fans are going to attach themselves to because of what they see in training camp, what they saw in minicamp, Robinson being one. It was so funny to watch Matt Ryan being interviewed on Tuesday, and he was asked, you know, kind of, you know, how about some of the younger guys that are standing out? And he could have said any of the drafted guys, because those are the easy ones. And you say, oh, you know what's his name? His name is. And, well, it's David Glidden, who is a tryout player in rookie minicamp, and made the team. And now he's impressing the starting quarterback. Yeah. I think he's from Oklahoma State. Just a little kind of picture like a Wes Welker kind of guy. Scrappy, as we like to say, right? Scrappy.
Yeah. Effort guy.
Effort guy. But you look at that wide receiver spot, and it is interesting at the bottom. And I always say that it's going to come down to special teams, and special teams are going to decide who that fifth wide receiver is or who that sixth
maybe even the fourth receiver.
Maybe even the fourth receiver. but having the option, having the ability, having the competition, I think is what ultimately is going to benefit the team as you go through training camp. And there's some guys that are going to catch your attention out there.
Yeah, and again, we caution people, and I say this on the radio all the time, minicamp is more for a learning tool for the players. We can look, and I know D-Led of the AJC put a depth chart out, and it had Deion Jones at one and Devondre Campbell there, and fans get all fired up. And, why is Vic Beasley not in one of these positions? Or how did Deion Jones win the job? They haven't won a job. You don't win a job until your name is called week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a starter. That's when you probably win the job a week or two before that,
yeah.
But that's when you know the job is won. What this is, and Dan Quinn's mentioned this on the radio and in different interviews, it's chances to let kids, not even just kids, it's chances to let different players play different positions and see how they react to it. Let somebody like a Deion Jones run with the ones. Let him be the guy that gets the call in the helmet, communicates the call to everybody, gets guys lined up, and allow the play to run.
And it's funny that you mentioned that, because you want to talk about a guy who changed positions. You're not going to recognize the name, but C.J. Goodwin was signed by the Falcons as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. This offseason, they're like, you know what? We want to try you at cornerback. They move him over to corner, and he has done nothing but shine during OTAs, and he had a great interception on Wednesday afternoon's practice. Mm-hmm. So we've got guys now who are making a mark in those areas where they're outside of their comfort zone. The big thing that Dan Quinn is pushing this year, and it started with the Navy SEALs training, is becoming comfortable with uncomfortable, right? So when you really think about that, you take a wide receiver, and maybe he hasn't played corner since high school, mm-hmm. and you ask him, hey, match up against Julio Jones right now. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And but this kid didn't blink. And I think that mindset, man, I think it we could expand on it for hours.
It only helps you
right.
Third, fourth quarter in a game when things are tight, things are getting a little uncomfortable, and
yeah.
you're on your heels a little bit, but you can go back and say, hey, remember we did the SEAL stuff. Remember when
right.
you got to line up against Julio and you had to, stand up and make a play. This
and,
is that
And it
time.
Took nine of us to hold right. that log
yeah.
up. Right? It wasn't just one of us. It right. was nine of us. It was seven of us. It was however many of us. And we did it together. And we got through it. And I think that mentality, it was great to see on Wednesday at the end. They did this 4-minute drill with some of the guys who you would consider vying for backup positions
right.
or just trying to make the team. They did this really good 4-minute drill, went down the field and scored. And then Matt Bryant came out to kick the extra point. The entire offense was down on the ground, ready to do push-ups when Bryant made the extra point, and they did 10 push-ups at the end. That training has ingrained itself into the culture mm-hmm. of the locker room, of the weight room, of the field, in a way that I don't think anybody expected.
You're so spot on with it, because you look at where this team was last year. You look at some of the things that happened late in games when you probably felt uncomfortable. You kind of mentally said, oh, here we go again. And that's the mind frame that you need, especially going into those situations, is, okay, I'm uncomfortable, things aren't going my way, but guess what? I can revert back to things that I was doing in the offseason where I was pushed to a different limit, I was pushed to a different level, and guess what? I made it through it, and I was able to succeed and keep going. I think that's what Coach Quinn is doing right now, is forcing these guys into uncomfortable situations right now so that later on, like you said, they won't blink. They'll show up to the plate.
I think part of being uncomfortable is the fact of not knowing if you have a job or not.
Yeah.
How many times in other regimes?
That'll make you real uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. In other regimes or in other situations, you walk in and you know, I've got a job. And if you know you've got a job, there might be a day that you go, I'm a little tired. I'm not going to push through. I may fake an injury. I may run off to the side, go on the bike, do whatever. You're talking about veterans that have been here for years that right now are looking around going, I may not have a spot.
Yeah.
And when that game check doesn't come week number one, kind of hurts the bank account. when that game check doesn't come week number two, it kind of hurts the bank account, especially if you see a young guy coming in and taking your spot. So the competition, I know Dan's preached that literally from the second he got his job. He's preached competition. It's showing out there on the practice field.
It is every single day, and it becomes one of those it becomes like a meme sort of is you know, among fans on social media is just, you know, the buzzwords, the competition, you know, fired up. You know, toughness, all that other stuff, but it becomes more than just words at some point. And I think, you know, when we went through the year where toughness was the buzzword, it was only a word. It didn't manifest itself in any way on the field. What is being preached right now is making its way to the field. And that's what's really, really exciting about this team in just these very early stages.
Fast and physical.
Fast and physical.
And they're faster. And that's the main thing I've heard Dan talk about so far during minicamp is the speed shows up. Think about this team a couple of years ago on defensively. You'd look around and go, man, there might only be one or two guys on this team that start somewhere else. And there weren't a lot of guys that were getting to the football. If a player broke, he said, oh, we're in trouble. You start talking about linebackers that are running 4.4 40s, yep. Deion Jones. You track players down. You got defensive backs in True and Alford who could flat out run, and Keanu who could run as well. You get those guys on the field, suddenly that 7-yard gain turns into a 2-yard gain. That 15-yard gain might turn into an 8-yard gain. And I did some research on defensive numbers. You were 16th a year ago in yardage. You were 14th in points. To get top 10 in defense, to go from 16 to 10, you got to give up like literally less than 20 yards a game. So you're talking about a couple of first downs, maybe one or two. To get into the top 10 scoring-wise, you got to give up like 1.5 points a game less. So a field goal here, a field goal there, you give up less points. You're now a top 10 defense. Getting some speed on the field is going to help all of that.
And let me tell you, I was talking to a couple guys who good friends with on the team, and they were talking about how practice was set up and, you know, how you get, you know, your reps in. And we talked about guys, you know, trying to make an impact and trying to, you know, say, okay, this is where I feel like I can fit on this team. And they were saying, okay, on Tuesday we had a 2 minutes scenario. And obviously Coach Coyne wants to make it just like game. And he said, okay, well, you got to move the football. If you don't move the football, then, you know, you're over with. And he said they had three plays. They were three and out, and they were off the field. Well, you only got three reps. That's three reps to show the coaches exactly what
you
can do.
Yeah.
And you're off the field, and the next group is up. So your chance is gone. And he was just saying, you know, you got to take advantage of every single rep, because every single rep you're competing and every single rep they're watching. And if you're only out there for two or three plays and your group is over with, you know, you're not putting a lot on tape for them to evaluate. So he said, you know, it was a tough grind for that part of it. He said that's just how it goes every single day. And, you know, they started practice at, what, 11 o'clock? And, you know, they're off the field at 12:30. So you're not out there a long two and a half hours where you're going to get tons of reps. So you got to make every rep count and every drill count.
This is a very different atmosphere than what – you would have noticed from the previous regime, even with the new collective bargaining agreement.
I have a lot of playing. Geez, an hour and a half out there? I mean.
Yeah, right. I guess if anybody can attest to maybe some previous regimes around here and how they would handle practice, it'd be DJ. But, yeah. He's not bitter or anything.
You know, you can actually talk on the plane and do all that other stuff.
While I'm eating my food, matter of fact.
Make eye contact and everything.
We can smile. You know, it's Dan Quinn's philosophy to get the guys on the field, get the work done, get them off their feet. Mm-hmm. That's it. So that's why you see hour and a half practices when you can have, I think under the collective bargaining agreement right now, it's like two. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. But that's why is you're in the middle of we had to move some practices during the week because of the threat of severe weather in the afternoons.
Right.
And so you're just wanting to get that work done, get them off their feet, get them inside, and get them recovering.
Yep.
Because
that's exactly
that is what keeps these guys going when you get to week 8, 9, 10, 11, is you're not worn out.
I had one of the guys tell me exactly that. He said, man, he takes care of us. He takes care of us, and he was like, I can give him everything I got for an hour and a half. That's nothing.
He said,
I can give you everything for that. And he said, man, he just takes care of us. He makes sure that we're healthy. He makes sure that we're refreshed. And just hearing that, and this is coming from a guy who's played 9-10 years, and he was wide-eyed about it. Like, I love it. You know, it's helping him, you know, probably tack on a couple more years to his career because he's able to, you know, have this kind of experience, and Coach Quinn is taking care of his players, but making sure at the same time they're getting the work in
they
while they're
getting
on
the work. They are absolutely getting the work.
I think Vaughn McClure of ESPN had an article this week talking about how they, you know, the tempo's a little bit faster, how Dan's able to be more places because last year he was really, you know, grinding into the Leo position and the hybrid guys and coaching them. And now Dan's so much more comfortable with his staff because it's 2 years in. He's stepping back and being the true overseer and being able to bounce around and be a bunch of different places. And it's great. I mean, for him, that's got to be nice to be hands-on, to be able to be with Matt for a moment, maybe be with Julio for a second. Next thing you know, he's back with Keanu Neal. You know, he's just finding different places to fit in and not being a guy that, you know, you got to remember last year, first time as a head coach, that's got to be overwhelming. I mean, you go from being a DC where you strictly focus, I got to get the defensive game plan right. And Pete Carroll had been a coach forever, whether it was college or in the National Football League. And now it's your show. And you've got to deal with guys like me standing there after every practice asking you, you know, mundane questions over and over again. Whereas the DC, you finish up, boom, you're in the film room or you're in the cafeteria, and you're done for the day. As a head coach, you got 40 minutes with us knuckleheads.
Right.
Some people asking the same questions over and over again.
But Dan Quinn is actually the guy who, when he finishes up with practice, he actually will go over and sign autographs for about a half hour. And then he'll take some time with the media. So
I met a kid Wednesday. Cooper was his name. Cooper and his dad, I believe his dad's name was Jim.
Yeah.
But Cooper came over, said he listens to us, listen to Falcon Cast, listen to us on the radio. And he had his hat, and he had it signed. I said, who'd you get to sign it? He goes, oh, you know, I got lucky today. I got Jake Matthews. He had Jake Matthews, Desmond Trufant, and Matt Ryan on the bottom. And Jacob Tammy. As a matter of fact, the kid had written a letter to Jacob Tammy when Tammy, I guess, wasn't doing well.
Uh-huh.
Tammy remembered him, signed the back, because the kid was wearing an 83 jersey, signed the back of his jersey. So this guy got, I mean, and that's the moment, you know, you talk about Quinn walking around, but how about the players? It's an hour and a half. How much easier is it after an hour and a half practice to go, all right, there's, you know, 2,500 people standing out here. I'm going to go sign autographs for 30 minutes. As opposed to when you guys, maybe not you guys, but Arch's teams had two-a-days.
Yeah.
They'd practice for 4.5 hours, get a 40-minute break, and then be back out there for 6 more hours.
Right.
And then they'd go sell a set of white walls at the end.
We had a couple two-a-days.
Two-a-days
was doing training.
Get back to you.
I can't wait until DJ is like that old guy. Man, I remember when.
It's still, though. We had 2.5 hour practices. We were out there a couple times, and they didn't care nothing about no heat advisory. We were out there at 2:30, riding a lot of heat.
Arch told me he lost 18 pounds one day in 2 days.
I believe
it. Can happen.
I wish, and I know this. The league would never allow.
They put monitors on the guys now to monitor everything that they're doing.
Everything.
I wish there'd be a day they'd let us just go through a practice.
Heck no.
I would. If I could lose 18 pounds in a day, I will pay Dan like $50 to go out there.
You put it back on the next day.
Not necessarily. You'll gain some of it back. You're not going to gain all of it. Brian Jordan
you'll gain most of it back, though, because a lot of it is water weight. Yeah, if you look at a lot of the guys coming off the field, you look at their pants, look at their shirt, it's all just water weight that you freaking
Yeah, but you
lost.
Know how awesome it would be to get on the scale 18 pounds lighter?
It would be nice. I would go out that night. Because I'd be like, oh, this is the best I've looked in a while.
Friday night. You wanna
yeah, exactly. Friday, we're going to come out here. We're going to practice. We'll go through practice, and then we'll go out.
I think we should do that one day.
Yeah, he's a married man. He can
do
you're
what?
An almost
do
married
what?
Man.
Yeah. Do what? Go out?
No. Go to practice.
Oh, I've done that before.
And go out.
You don't need to lose 18 pounds. Just saying. I mean, these guys do have it better. But it's really cool to watch the players interact with fans and – you say what you want, and our fan base, rightly and wrongly, sometimes gets a bad name. I mean, national writers, Reese Waters from ESPN, oh, I'm walking through Atlanta, and can you know what? Why don't you walk to the real – he's walking in Midtown at like 2 o'clock on a Tuesday trying to find Falcon fans. Guess what? They're everywhere. They're actually at work.
Yeah.
They're not sitting out at the park. But to see our fans out here like they were Wednesday, and I'm talking thousands of people lined
up. I'm walking into – practice on Wednesday, and I had at least, I promise you, at least 3 or 4 people said, we love FalconCast. We love
that's
listening
awesome.
To you guys.
Hey, thank you.
I mean,
that's nice.
And it was awesome to see. I mean, I actually took an extra, you know, a few minutes to talk to those guys just because, you know, they listened to FalconCast.
Bosek got recognized.
I saw him on Twitter. That's the first thing I said to Bosek.
That was I got recognized twice.
Oh, that's another one. This is another one? Oh.
The one
talk
picture you saw was someone in the media who took the picture. But
you were earlier, the infamous. You were the infamous.
I was, quote, the man that meant the legend.
Yeah.
But earlier during practice, I was shooting the fans, and a guy looks at me. He goes, he's looking at me. I'm just keep filming. And you hear him, because I got audio on the camera, and he goes, is that Bosek? And then like 10 seconds later,
hey, what's up, man?
And then he walked out to me, and then he was like, is this going to be on the website? And I was like, yeah. So I filmed him real quick. We made sure we put him in the final edit.
Oh, of course you did.
So he's on our website.
And hopefully the sound goes along with that.
Hey, Bosek. Hey, Bosek.
How are you?
Are you on the website?
Yeah.
All right,
hold on. All right, appreciate it, Bo.
Yeah, well, all you got to do is tell us that you listen to the FalconCast. Yeah.
You're on.
You're our friend. Then.
So there's your secret for training camp. When you come That's out it. Here and you see Bosek or Austin or Trevor or any of us, just go, hey, we listen to FalconCast. You
there.
Will be on the website.
Yes, basically.
Matter of fact, we may give you like producer credit if you
we
say
might.
Listen.
We might. Brought to you by.
May even send you a check.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be about as much as the USFL check was. Back in 1985.
So that
means
you may not
buck.
Get it? That's what that means.
No, it was a dollar.
That was UFL. That was UFL.
Oh, yeah, UFL. Yeah.
USFL
we
actually played,
checks, so
played
yeah,
their
yeah.
paid their
checks?
Oh, they were tired.
That's why they went out, yeah.
That's
typically a way to not show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't pay. I had one job ever, and I know we're off topic. We'll get to a break with Bosek here.
How much time we got left? Where are we at? We
got about 6 minutes.
Yeah, we're at 10 minutes. Yeah.
Okay,
10 minutes, okay.
So, yeah, I go off track for a second. One job, I had just moved to Atlanta. Matter of fact, I was only here for a summer to see if I wanted to move to Atlanta. Working at some company. Come Friday, I've been waiting for a paycheck because I'm a broke college student. Come Friday, they deliver everybody's paycheck, and mine's not there. And it was at lunchtime. And I was waiting
every
on.
Every time you start a new job.
I was waiting
that.
On that check to be able to eat lunch. Like, legit, I was going, okay,
right.
This $107 that I'm getting will be enough for me to feed me today. Check didn't show up. I called the temp company. I said, I'm on the way. If my check's not there, I quit. They go, what about the rest of the day? I said, today's a half day. And you're paying me for the whole day.
Right.
And they did, because I had to drive out of my way to go get a check, but I need to eat.
Did that work with the UFL, DJ?
No.
Let me tell you what happened, though. Our head coach, his name was Joe Moglia. He was the president, CEO of TD Ameritrade.
Nice.
Paid us out of his own pocket.
Wait, head coach?
He was the head coach.
just for fun?
So y'all were
it was at first, but now he's coaching at a major college now.
So you guys are like a rec league team. So-and-so's dad is your coach.
But guess what?
Dad is coaching us in the UFL.
He had it. He was able to pay us out of his own pocket.
Now, did you run the cross buck? Was that one of the plays you run?
No, I went with that. A
little wishbone misdirection.
Just high school. We kept that in there. No.
Your play sheet was one page. He literally had one. The only formation we're running is this. And there is no audibles.
One of these days, I'm going to have to tell my story about how I was in the Arena Football League for one day.
What?
My career lasted one day.
You were in the AFL?
Well, AFL 2.
Well, then go ahead and get it going. You already started the story. You can't.
Oh no,
we'll
save it for another time.
You have to remember this though.
Okay, yeah. We will. Let me write that down, like Van Wilder.
We don't have time.
We don't. If there's enough time, maybe we'll go to Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, Home maybe.
Depot, get some grout.
Nice little
Why
Saturday.
Why are we going to Bed Bath & Beyond?
For a nice little Saturday, DJ.
You don't remember
Have you
this?
Not seen the movie? The
old School?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Rhymony.
If I would have said Frank the Tank, hit me with another one.
There we go.
You're okay, my boy, Blue.
Yeah. Right over the head. Right?
All that good
While
stuff.
While they holding the bricks, yeah.
Bosek,
my boy,
have
Bosek.
You seen Old School?
Yes.
Okay.
A few times.
Good.
There you go, Bo.
Few times.
I found out my fiance has not seen Coming to America.
Oh, no.
She
It was on the other day, and I go, oh, it's one of my favorites. She goes, I haven't seen that, but I don't really want to watch it. I said, what do you mean you don't want to watch it? I almost
That
took
movie
my...
can be on at any point in that movie.
So now
it's
on
the channels,
you. Yeah.
And
on
I'm
you.
Watching it.
And
yeah.
That's it.
If she hasn't watched it by the time you guys get married, it's your fault.
We're not getting married if she doesn't watch. I'm taking my ring back.
Ladies, I will not marry you unless you've seen Gremlins.
Gremlins, yes. Gremlins is great.
Just so you know.
Mine's Home Alone.
Yep.
all five of them?
No, just
the
one and two.
Just one and two.
Really just one. One was awesome. All right, let's do a break with Bosek.
Okay, here we go. You can turn... one legal thing illegal. What do you choose?
Oh, come
one legal on. Thing
and make it illegal?
Cripes.
Yep.
Oh. Now, I liked last week better when you said you could have a superpower. That was easy.
You did a superpower last week?
Which was awesome.
It was different.
It was different, though.
What one superpower would you want to give to
everybody?
Everyone?
I said fly, because we'd have no more traffic.
That's true. That would be a good one.
That'd be, oh, I'd get the flowery branch at six.
One thing that can be legal.
One that's legal you want to make illegal.
Illegal.
Legal to illegal.
Without getting like political and all that. Let's keep it.
Yeah, keep politics.
Let's keep it out. Stick to sports, right?
Yeah,
right,
sure,
folks?
Sports.
Stick to sports is what they always tell us.
All right, you know what? To stay in sports, you know, I want to know something. I'd go from legal to illegal. I think it should be illegal to offer a kid a scholarship before he's a senior in high school. I think it's ridiculous that they're now offering eighth graders scholarships to a college.
What about like sophomore junior?
No,
I mean, come on.
No, you're a senior. You can't leave high school early.
No, no, you said offer scholarships.
No, I don't want you offered anything. You're a senior.
You can't offer a 11th grade kid a scholarship to college?
I don't think so.
What?
You know what? I don't need an 11th grader thinking about – he needs to be getting ready for his senior year. Now, the day they graduate from high school, you can send 8 million letters.
That. No way. That's terrible.
Maybe not.
I can understand 8th grade. I can understand that.
You know what? I'll give you the 11th grader. 10th grade and below. Shouldn't be offering a scholarship. I grew 8 inches and 70 pounds between 10th and 11th grade.
So a guy everybody knows in Robert Kimdichie who was
hey.
–
Guess
the
what?
League.
Offer him in 11th grade. You can contact the heck out of him. No scholarship offer.
Why?
Just can't, we're trying to come up with something legal to illegal, so I'm giving you something. Don't kill the messenger.
I'm making National Signing Day illegal then. I hate that thing.
It's a lot going
really?
On there, right?
Too much. It's too much.
Gives me something to talk about in February.
No, come on. These kids, you know, it's a big day for them. I get it. It's turned into a spectacle, though.
It's a circus show now.
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
But let's be
I
real
like
thing.
It before when like, you know, ESPN wasn't covering National Signing Day.
Yeah, but again, it's February. Super Bowl's over. They don't have much to talk about.
Yeah, I know, but
it's one day.
Yeah, I know. Well, go ahead and you go. Maybe I'll think of something better than that. I'll make suits illegal.
No, don't go back to
suits.
No, let's
illegal.
Get no.
You
let's
know
not
how
talk
nice
about
it would
that.
Be to travel like this.
Let's not
shorts,
talk about suits.
Shorts, t-shirt, flip flops.
Suits. We.
That's how I went to Punta Cana, dressed just like this.
You fact, gotta be. It's a long flight, man. You gotta be
3 hours.
Oh, nothing. 3 hours. Man.
Yeah.
Still, you're gonna
be about 6 vodka cranberries. That was good.
All right, for me, illegal. I wanted it to be illegal for. Bad drivers to be able to back into certain areas in parking lots.
Oh, how about just backing in general?
Sometimes you have to back up. Like if you're like a
back in guy in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. All
either,
the time.
You're either a pull in guy or you're a back
at not every
back
time.
In guy.
Every
I'm
time.
A pull in guy.
I used to be a pull in guy. Now I'm a back in guy because we had a guy who used to work here who said, "You never know when the man might be after you, and you got to make a quick getaway."
Dude,
so,
if I'm at that point, I'm caught.
You're right. You're right about that.
I'm saying it like games and, like parking decks, you can back in because you got to get out. It's easier. But, like, some people just back in for no reason. I hate that.
There's always a reason to back in. It's easier to get out. This is going to be a thing.
No.
Somebody's yelling down the hallway.
Yeah.
They are.
Because they're mad because somebody is backed in and they backed in.
Now
some folks can't park, man.
You came up with this question for a reason. What do you want to make illegal?
Well, every day when I'm driving home from work, I get some rough traffic sometimes at a stoplight. And I'm waiting in line at the stoplight for about 20 minutes, and I get to the front of the line at the stoplight, and there's someone just coming in. Don't mind me. I'm going to cut in front of you after you've been waiting for 20 minutes.
That's inconsiderate,
day.
But it should be illegal.
No, yes. I'm the guy that I will make you hit me because I'll pull up and be like, nope.
Yep.
I do that.
Nope. I am that guy too.
I do that a lot, but sometimes they're just like.
All right, you got to hit me then. Just hit me. I don't even care.
I don't want to deal with it, though.
I want to have freaking bumper cars sometimes when you're trying to merge and they don't let you open.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it that nobody knows, nobody understands the concept of merging and how it's supposed to work?
It makes no – oh, it makes me so mad. Like, it's traffic. Why can't you let me over? You know I got to get over.
Right.
The other one that's irritating is people don't understand a blinking red or a blinking yellow. Blinking yellow does not mean stop. It means caution. Look around. Blinking red means you treat it as a four-way stop.
All right. I'm making suits illegal. Suits are illegal.
Bosek, we got to move on before he starts talking about suits.
I got one more that I'm going to make illegal.
I'm already sweating thinking about it.
We got 3 minutes.
The other one I'm going to make illegal, I want to make it illegal, and I love the police officers here in Atlanta. I mean, I have nothing. I think it should be illegal for when there's traffic lights for there to be a traffic cop. Because they just make traffic worse.
Do they?
Yes. Because they let 75 cars go there, and you're sitting there going, dude, it's wide open.
Dude,
the light's been green 15 minutes. I could have been where I need to get
John,
to.
John, if we ever have to go anywhere together, I'll drive. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about
I'm
it.
I'm sort of an angry driver.
Yeah, I guess
you got
so.
Road race
I opened up a can of worms. Sorry,
you did.
Folks.
You did.
My dude got road rage.
You did.
All right. I'll
stick at the football next week.
What's this called? The final shot?
Final play.
Final play.
We don't have much time.
What's that guy's name?
Gilden?
Glidden? Glidden?
My final play is pretty simple this week. We've got now, what, about 4 or 5 weeks before training camp gets underway. Actually, I think it's about 4. I hope that the message for Dan Quinn has gotten through to everybody. And don't be the guy now that ends up with your name on the ticker on ESPN.
Number 2 rule of the organization is protect the team. Protect the team.
Just don't be that guy.
Follow the rules.
Protect your name.
That's it.
When we come back out here for training camp in July and doing the radio broadcast out here and meeting all the fans, I want to see all 90 guys that were out here today be the same 90 guys.
That's right.
Pretty simple.
Easy.
Easy enough.
But we'll be back next week.
We will.
Yes,
we will. As whole.
So
all three.
All of us.
Oh, wow. One mic.
Hopefully. One mic. We're going to 5 guys, one mic. Back here for the Falcon Cast. Man, it's good to have you guys back.
It's great. It's great. Nice. The band's back together. We're like
love
the Fabulous Freebirds. All of us are back.
That's right.
We can do that. We're like the original Four Horsemen. I just don't know who's Rick, Ole, Arn, or Tully Blanchard.
Oh, I was going to be Steve McMichael, but
I know
he wasn't an original.
This is John Michaels. Come on.
You could be Steve McMichael.
Okay.
I got to work with Randy McMichael today. That's it. We're out of here. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Search Falcons Cast. Check us out there.
And on Twitter, we've got an official Falcon Cast Twitter account.
ATL Falcon Cast.
Talk to you guys next week.